Matthew's Gospel 28. We began on Wednesday and also earlier today on our subject in the Spirit and by the Spirit. Like I mentioned, we're looking at the practice of the things of the Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel 28 and 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's to make disciples. And that's what Matthew chose, you know, by now. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I mentioned in the morning that there's a difference between being a fan of a church, and a few of us are like that. A fan says, "I like the preaching, I like the pastor, I like the music, I like the worship." And that's what he comes or she comes for. That's not yet a serious Christian. That's a fan. They hail you. And Jesus had a couple of people like that who said very, very nice things about him. In fact, in Matthew 7:28, they said he taught like no other person taught. But that is not somebody who is learning. A fan doesn't like what you are teaching. A fan doesn't hail what you are teaching. Sorry, a fan hails what you are teaching, likes what you are teaching, but is not yet learning. Somebody who is learning, who can call a disciple, doesn't hail or like, he practices it. And there are people like that, that, "Oh, I like this one, I like that one." So they like to like what they like. And I told you in the morning that the pastor is not meant to teach you what you want. He's meant to teach you what you deserve to know. And that's important to note that. And I also used the story or the parable of the weed. And I said, weeds are alone. They just spring up from nowhere and they abide alone. But proper plants are planted, nurtured, taken care of, watered, and all of that. And I said to us, I said, believers are not weeds. Say, "I'm not a weed." You're not just something that you just waste away. In other words, we coexist with other believers, with care, nurturing, accountability, the local church, submission, you know, interpersonal interactions that causes us to grow. And I said that the Bible typifies the believer's life as a building. Matthew 7, Jesus gave the parable of the house, he that builds his house upon the rock and the one upon the sand, and he used the building to talk about the believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul calls himself a wise master builder in verse 10. I've laid the foundation, another is building upon. And he also calls the believers like plants. He said, "You are the Lord's planting. I plant, Apollo waters," and all of that. So you can see that is used to typify the believer is something that you build, you plant, you nurture. And so, Christians are not like that. And I told you earlier about the parable of the sower. Jesus gave another parable, and he says the enemy came and sowed what you can call zazao in the Greek, which is tares. It just came up. He said the man slept and woke up and just found tares. That means people that just appear. Somebody can appear here today, appear there tomorrow, you know, and move somewhere else the next day. They are never anywhere for a long time, no commitments. Those are not serious Christians. A serious Christian is planted somewhere, is nurtured there, he learns, okay? He learns, she learns, and they take it from there. And I said, "I like this, I like your teaching, I like your preaching, but the ministry is something I don't really appreciate." "What do you mean by the ministry?" "The hours of prayer, hours of study, you know, it's like you got to be accountable, you got to be this, you got to be that." I know, I thought it's just, let's just say, "Glory, glory, hallelujah." And I told you that there's some folks like that, they now go for what? Sales community. Oh, thank you, you remember. Sales community light. They go for the lighter version. I say, you know, "I like this place." The ushers welcome you with a hug, chocolates, milk, I said, come in, you know, the word of God's going here. Oh, come on. And then we can still have this even if we have the word. Says community life. You can fast and take tea. You know. You don't have to be religious about the whole day. Why can't you break your fast by 12? You know, what matters is not the length of time. It's the time of the length. Church community lies. You know, so that's some folks are just like that. And they do that well. They try to rebrand what we do in a lighter version. You know, and all of that. Some people claim to pray for long, but they declare. They are declaring. I declare and decree, and the people are playing the Bible. But you see, that's the difference between a fan and a disciple. I told you the other day, when it came to disciples, Jesus said, can you sleep where I sleep? Yeah, I can. I have nowhere to lay my head. The guy said, I'm praying about it. The other one said, I want to go bury my dad. He said, no, you have to preach the gospel. Go for evangelism. Ah, we're talking about life here. The third one said, let me go and get approval. He said, if you go, that's the end. He that puts his hand on the floor and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. So all that show you the difference between somebody who hails a ministry, a preacher, and somebody who actually follows. People admire preachers. They admire pastors. They admire people that preach. But I think a friend of mine said this sometime in 2000. He said, many admirers like that, they love to have the pastor. They have him. They play him when they want. You know what I mean by that? They play him when they want. Play what they want him to say. But they don't want him to have them. That is, they don't want him to have any accountability issues. They said that year 2000, Pastor Boy guy said, they want to have you when they want you. But for you to now come, for them to now come under proper mentorship, nope. Somebody once told me, said, no. They said, you know, I prefer to follow your ministry from the website. He said, but coming around, the length of the services, the prayers, is not so convenient for me because of what I do. What do you do? What can you be doing? They've shut down many cities in the world now. Go and be doing something. If we are told them to stay at home and pray all day, they say, well, it's too long. But it's not long now. Everybody's at home. Those who didn't know how to play with their family, they are now playing by force. Everybody is now, we are one big family. So, the truth is, the difference between a fan, an admirer, some of you are sitting here that you are just an admirer. Someone said, I like your preaching, sir. It blessed me. Thank you. But we are all not here to like. We are here to do it. We are here to practice it. And we are here to be there for one another and to serve the Lord. Can I have an amen? And so what it means is that you don't, when you are not a fan, you don't choose the meetings to attend. You don't say, well, I love just the Sunday service. That Wednesday, what's it for? Or the zonal meetings, or cell meetings, or the fellowship meetings, or the prayer meetings. That is still a fan, an admirer who is yet to show seriousness towards the gospel that is being taught and preached. And you have to take that decision, you know, to move from a mere admirer, a mere fan, and maybe I won't call you a weed, or something close to that, but an unnurtured plant. You're just there. And there you are not producing fruits, you are just hanging there. You are there, but there's no fruit to it. Because when there's no fruit to a tree, the tree becomes a Christmas tree. It's for what? Decoration. You have to bear fruit. And then we know, okay, good. Because if how can you be a Christian all that? Yes. And you don't have people that have learned Christ from you, are following Christ through you, that means you are a Christmas tree. You are not bearing fruit. And you know, Christmas trees can look very nice, but no, it can't feed anybody. It can feed your eyes, feed an ephemeral, fleeting delight, but it can't feed anybody. It can't feed you. And God doesn't want you to be a Christmas tree. Tell somebody beside you, say, don't be a Christmas tree. Hallelujah. All right, glory to God. So we began to look at that. And one of the things you learn is how to function and flow with the Holy Ghost. You learn it. I learned, and I'm still learning it. I learned it. You learn to function and flow with it. And I gave you that distinction earlier today that, you know, as a younger Christian, there were things I couldn't comprehend, you know. But I knew by the Holy Ghost. I just knew by the Holy Ghost. I remember when TJ brought this material, Word of Faith magazine, and showed us dancing in the spirit versus dancing in the flesh. I mean, I used to lead praise worship, so I really know what I'm talking about. So when he brought that, and I saw dancing in the spirit, dancing in the flesh, but Kelly Hagin, I didn't agree with it here because it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make any sense to me. But I listened to him explain it. It didn't make sense to me. I felt dance is dance. I mean, dance is dance. Whether you are doing Yahuze or you are doing Bese, dance is dance. As long as you are happy, let it be. But I listened. But I remember when I dropped that magazine, you know, I gave it to a friend of mine, called him Apostle. I dropped it, and I started walking, and I dipped down in my spirit. I knew I had found something I had to study again. So it took me like 2 or 3 years after, I think 3, that I began to look at the subject and I asked questions. But the truth is, I knew by the Holy Ghost that this was something I had to know. And that shows you how the Christian walk is. I said that in the morning, I don't have to go over it again. That it's the walk of the Spirit. It's the walk of the Spirit. It's the walk and walk of the Spirit. So we have to learn the walkings of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you there? I said, are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll just read verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And I told you earlier that the word is in this series already, that the word promises there is actually a singular word. It's not multiple promises. Because if you ask, what did God promise? He promised salvation, he promised the Holy Spirit, he promised righteousness, he promised sonship. They are just explanations of the same promise. And the promise is the promise of the Spirit. And so he says in verse 21, that he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us God. Then in verse 22, who has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He said the word seal means a proof of ownership. Sphragizo, from the word sphragis, where I lay claim on something, which today you can call it the DNA of a father and the son. So the Spirit of God is God's claim on you. God's claim on me is not my tribe. God's claim on me is not even my local church. God's claim on me is not the pastor of my church. God's claim on me is not any other thing but his Spirit in me. The seal sealed us with his Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 and 14, you put it side by side with 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22, you will read the same words there. And giving us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The earnest. That's the word Erebon. Earnest. In chapter 14 verse 14 of chapter 1 Ephesians, it says the earnest of our inheritance. What earnest means? To put down something to show you are going to do it. And I told you that some versions will call it down payment. It's not true. The way you say down payment today is if you want to buy something. I remember I bought a car years back and we put down a down payment to complete the payment after a while. So that's a down payment. So you are going to pay more. And many times you can lose the down payment if you don't complete your payment. But the down payment here, the error bond here, means to put down something more sufficient than what you said you are going to do. For example, if I claim that I'm going to build a house and they give me the cost of the house at say 100 million naira, then I put a deposit of 300 million. That is error born. I've given you far beyond what was expected to have been done. That's why in Ephesians 1:19, the way Paul describes it, said the exceeding greatness of his power towards all that believe. Use the word hyperbalon. Superballon means to throw beyond target, exceeding greatness, to us of the greatness of his power to us horses that believe. Ephesians 3:20, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. Superballon. So when you use the word earnest of inheritance, it means a pledge that shows it will be done. So the Holy Ghost in us is a deposit. Call it that way, a deposit. The indwelling of the Spirit is sonship. The indwelling of the Spirit is also deposit. A deposit where we can, as it were, draw or access resources. Deposit. Where we have resources to do what God wants us to do in the earth. Say, I have the deposit of the Spirit to do the will of God on earth today. Say, I am not incapable of doing the will of God. I have the deposit of the Spirit in me today. Say like him, I have the deposit of the Spirit in me today. That's a deposit. That is, you can keep drawing. You can keep drawing. Hallelujah. You can keep drawing on that. And so, we looked at a couple of things, and then we zeroed in on, I mentioned what old timers, when you say camp meeting, for example, when you say camp meeting today, some people will call us and say, when you say Christ camp, and say, camp meeting, where are we going to stay? Because their own definition of camp meeting is to camp somewhere. Right? But that's not the old timers camp meeting. In fact, it was called tent meetings. So those tents that like we have here are called camps. And so people will come in the mornings. I'm talking about the late 1900s and then early 20th century. They will come in the morning and teach, pray, and all of that. Also in the afternoons. And then in the evening, they will have healing services, Holy Ghost meetings, or what we now call, what we now call Holy Ghost meetings, tarrying meetings. And then they'll go in the evening and come back again. So the essence of calling the camp meeting is that you are staying in one place throughout the day, not that you are living there. So there are old timers phrases like that. When you say follow up, for example, you will find follow up in the Bible. Jesus followed up Peter. But follow up simply means someone is born again, has learned the word, and you are going back to check him. In Acts 15, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back to those churches to see how they do. That's follow up. So there are phrases like that that old timers have coined. You know, they coined it so that you understand the concept of scripture. Let me take another one. We've mentioned the camp meetings. We've mentioned the where we say outreach, for example. Outreach means we are going out to reach the unsaved. You know, just concept that we have designed, you know, to show scriptural concept. I would say there was another one. I mentioned that in the morning. I'm going to stay on it also right now. We call it tarrying, to tarry. Now, I said all earlier that whereas there may be some ignorance in the use of that concept, I've been to meetings where we were waiting on the Holy Spirit. Waiting on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come down. In fact, I remember having been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues. So I started attending a church where they believe that to speak in tongues, you have to be sanctified, second work of grace, you have to be baptized with water and all of that. So, but I couldn't say to them publicly that I was speaking in tongues, because if I say, they will remove the tongues from my mouth. Who gave you? You have gone to religious modernizers. Those people that they claim to know Christ, but they don't know him. So I went for one of the camp meetings, as we call it as well. And then they say, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, come out. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you should come out. He said, but if you are coming out, you must ensure that your vessel is clean. Because if the Holy Spirit should come on an unclean vessel, he will destroy the vessel. I can't even understand that. If you don't want to come, don't come. Which one is come? And destroy the vessel. But I didn't come out. But people kept praying, wait on the Lord, so that he will give you the prayer language. But I knew I had been speaking with tongues already. But I couldn't say it loud. Because if I say it, I said, this bro, what is this? Bro, They just take me out for deliverance. So I kept it. You know, interestingly, years later, I got many of those people in that denomination filled with the Holy Ghost. Because now I knew, you know, I had sufficient knowledge at that time to be able to teach. So sometimes they get the concept wrong. Even though I said in the morning that they may get the concept wrong, but the attitude is okay. Remember that? Alright, so we said tarry. So we began to look at that word tarrying. And I said tarrying could not have meant ask God, wait on God to give you. Because he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you, which is in the present tense continuous, what he has already done. Luke 24:49. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8. Lambano, we looked at the word lambano earlier. And then we looked at the Acts 8:14 and 15 also, that they had received the word of God, Acts 8:14, Acts 8:15, you know, we said that they should receive the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is with every believer. You can't be born again without the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:9. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of these. Romans 8:15. We have not received the Spirit of born again to fear, but the Spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba Father. Galatians 4:5. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently sent forth and crucified among you. Then he says to them in verse 2, he says, receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, do you now seek to be perfected in the flesh? Verse 5, he that worketh miracles amongst you and ministers to you the Spirit, do you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So already it's evidence that the new birth can only happen by the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5, washing of regeneration by renewal of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5. You can go on and on. John 3:3, being born again. Then you enter, see the kingdom. John 3:5, born of the water and the Spirit. And then you enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That verse 6, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel than that, I say you must be born again. So that's a fact. You are born of the Spirit. You have received of eternal life. Eternal life refers to the indwelling of the Spirit, an eternal union you have with God once and for all. Amen. But then there's now the practice of, brother E.W. Kenyon, you call it the practice of His presence. That's where you now practice in what you have received already, or the practice of the things and the workings of the Spirit. Now you have to now learn that. Where you now practice the things and the workings of the Spirit. And that borders into you learning. That's what we said about whether you are just a fan or you are learning. If you are a fan, you just hear about it. But if you are learning, you are schooled in it. You are schooled in it. So what we're learning in these services is to be schooled in it. So we said the word tarry is an attitude. An attitude where we wait on the things that we have already received. An attitude where we wait on the things that are already ours. An attitude where we make a reverential practice of the things that we have. And towards the end of the last session, the last service, I highlighted something about what Brother Higgins said about the hindrances to growing in grace. And I said to us that we can also say hindrances to the move or the things of the Spirit. And the first thing I said is looseness, where you are just loose. Proverbs 25, and 26 now, it says, as a city without walls, so is a man that has no rule over his spirit. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You have to control. You have to. You have a contribution to make in the workings of the Spirit of God through you. A contribution to make. What are you contributing? You have a contribution to make. We said also there's lightness, where you are just light, and the spirit of this world is light, entertainment. You know, yesterday I caught a glimpse of one award ceremony like that. And everybody was trying to outwitch each other and who is going to dress the worst. You know, and that's really how the world, you know, applauds themselves. Man, that bed, man, slay babe, slay king, slay queen, she slayed everybody, you know, and that's the world. But you see, that attitude hinders the things of the spirit. It does. Because you and I can put on attitudes that can hinder the things of the spirit. You can. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says to Timothy, neglect not the things of God. Neglect not the gift of God. You can neglect it. To care less about it. That's what it means. To care less. To care less. In 2 Timothy 1:6 says to stir up the gift. To stir up the gift. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we read that earlier. It means quench not. Quench not the fire of the Spirit. So there's such an attitude that can promote the workings of the Holy Ghost in a man and not promote it. When you are light, you are into entertainment. I tell pastors that I know that, you see, you can replace the move of the Holy Ghost with entertainment. Where a church feeds its members on entertainment, they like, you know, the things that they ought to have in nightclubs, they want to have it in church. That, you know, someone said we don't want them to go to the world, so we bring the world to the church. You say, let's boogie down. Or folks will call it kangaroo hops. Let's boogie down. Hey, let's boogie down. Say, amen. You know, and the things like that. And when we develop that kind of a light attitude to the things of God, we suppress, as is well, the moving of the Holy Ghost. And so you have to decide what should be the atmosphere of a church. If it's going to be light, and then we have people, you know, come and tell us jokes and we all have fun and stuff like that. Lightness. Looseness. He also mentioned loquaciousness. Loquaciousness is you just talk anyhow. Some folks are like that. They can make coarse jokes. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 says they are coarse jokes which are not convenient. Coarse jokes. Jokes that just make a joke. Just say anything. Loose. Anything. Anything. Last one is lasciviousness, lasciviousness can also be in the way you dress. So people use the F word, you know, that's by the way. So there are things we can do that can hinder the things of the spirit. Now I gave you an illustration earlier, an example, where you, just like Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the things, the gift of God, where you careless, you are just careless. You are careless. Now, there's an attitude where you miss your prayer time and then you used to feel very bad, like God is angry with you. And, you know, you came in contact with the word of God that said, no, God can't be angry with you. God loves you. I said, You know, rather than take that as a motivation to pray more, then you say, it means that, that means all the while when I was not praying, it didn't matter. So you're not careless about waking up the way you do to pray. Those things hinder the workings and the movings of the Holy Ghost in us. Just careless. You care less about how you receive the word. You care less about how you study the word. That's not a good attitude. So we must develop an attitude and a good one. If the workings of the Holy Ghost have no contributions from us, why are there so many instructions around it? Why will Paul write 1 Corinthians 12:31, desire the things of the Spirit? Why will he write 1 Corinthians 14:1? And he'll say again, he says, well, follow after charity, desire the things of the Spirit. Why would he say the same thing in verse 12 and 13? Verse 39, convert to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Why would he say things consistently about our attitude? Why would he instruct us? That means that we have a role to play. So when Jesus says, tarry, I would say to tarry there means an attitude of waiting, which is not necessarily a passive attitude. We said that earlier. You are not passive. You are actively considering the things of the Spirit. You are actively taking from the deposit of the things of the Spirit. You are actively doing it. Hallelujah. You are actively doing it. Let me remind us again that I said earlier that there are things that typify the move of the Holy Ghost. We mentioned wind. a windy thing, something that is forceful, something that is, you know, is a move, forceful. We mentioned water, cleansing, soothing, comforting. We also mentioned fire, fire, which shows fervency, zeal, action. We mentioned all that earlier today. We mentioned sound, a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. Maybe I should add this to light, light, illumination. So those are the things that will happen to us or happen through us by the moving of the Holy Ghost. I must know the moving of the Holy Ghost. I must know the workings of the Spirit. So Jesus taught us an attitude. He said to tarry till you be endued with power on high. To tarry, which means you must have an attitude of someone who waits on that deposit. You wait on it. You wait on it. You wait on it. You wait on it. It's like an attitude of consideration. You wait on it. You wait on it. You wait on it. You tarry on it till you are able to make or have access to that deposit. Now, let's say something fundamental that he said there. Luke 24:49. Go back there. Luke 24:49. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. In the city of Jerusalem. Which means that it's putting a premium on a place. One attitude we must develop as we learn the workings of the Spirit and how to yield to the Holy Ghost is to have the right attitude to Christian meetings. You know, when he said that, people did not go and stay in their homes. Well, since I live in Jerusalem, let me just go and stay in my home. No. People didn't think he was talking about doing it online. Can I have an amen? Amen. They knew it meant come together. And so immediately he said that. Look at Luke 24:52. How did they act on what he said? Luke 24:52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. And were continually where? In the temple. Praising and blessing God. So, there was a day to that statement. They were in a place. Acts 1. Christian meetings are not men creation. That is God's wisdom of doing things in the earth. It's God's wisdom on how he does things in the earth. Acts 1. Verse 12. This is just like an explanation of what we just read. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were coming, they went up into an upper room. There abode both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That means they were in one place. Now in chapter 2, verse 1, it says they were in one place, again, in one accord. Tarrying also is an attitude about meetings. Do you wait on meetings? Do you wait on meetings? Tarrying is an attitude towards meetings. Hallelujah. Towards meetings. How do you see meetings? I gave you a personal example this morning. And I said, I'll be going for a meeting regularly. So there was a way I just felt, I can buy the CDs. I can go later. I can, you know, it's a subtle wrong attitude. And I said it towards the end that you don't outgrow a teachable spirit. Not having a teachable spirit is not maturity. It's backsliding. Oh, when I was younger, somebody once said this on Facebook, said, we used to write a lot of notes in those days. That was then. Wow. That was then. I guess the guy needs 12 elders to lay hands on him and pour very hot oil on him. That was then. No. That was when you were a Christian. Hallelujah. You have departed from the faith. You don't outgrow humility. You don't say, I used to be humble before I became a Christian. I used to be humble before I knew God's word. No. That attitude must be something you wear all the time. And so, when he asks them to tarry, he asks them to tarry in a place. Someone say a place. In a place. We must therefore develop healthy, sane attitudes about Christian meetings. Healthy, sane attitudes. I'll tell you one. One of them is punctuality. Now, if people were in one place in one accord, that means they got there at the same time. Or they got there before the meetings. If you came into a service later than the service, later than when the service started, you are not in one accord. If you decide to treat the service as something you can just walk out of, there was a meeting I preached at years back. In fact, I will say one that happened in this church years back. And as I was preparing for the meeting, I saw a fellow, I saw the shirt he wore, I saw where he was going to sit. I saw him coming to the service. I saw him stay at my right. I saw him, you know, where he sat. And then the Lord said to me, I want you to say something to him, but he's going to leave before you do. You know, at that point, you feel like, what can I do about it? Nothing. God doesn't control anybody's will. I told my friend who was my host, I said, the Lord showed me something, that somebody's going to come into the service, he's going to stay at this side, and he's going to walk away. And I saw the brother do exactly what he did in the vision. He said, yeah, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. He did all the, you know, charismatic things. So when I said, praise God, let's rise to our feet, he just walked out. I almost felt like I said, bro. But he went off. Now, I remember on three occasions, one single person, when we were 378, as I began to prepare for the service, the Lord showed me someone's face. And he said, don't tell this person what you ought to say to the person. And I felt, wow. And I was hoping in my heart that the person will come for the service. And the person did not come. Three times. And when I said, where did you go? And I said, you'll have come. You should have come. And I couldn't say why till now. This was 3 years ago. There are times that you just have to be keen in the spirit. Many of us will spend time doing things we ought to have done years ago. And sometimes it can be at the wrong time. Do you know it's not every time you plant a seed? We're going to start a plantation some time ago. And so the person had told me, it's this time. I said, don't worry. Of course, I was trying to get the funds. When I did, he said, you have to wait 5 months. I said, why now? Why is it that long? I said, you know what, you are perplexed. I said, all my grandma, you know, you gave me this one. He let me land from my la-la land. He said, because the planting season is this period. If you like, have 1 billion. Your 1 billion will go to waste. There is a time for it. So don't think that, you know, there's something you don't control. You don't control time. There's nothing you can do about it. You cannot control time. You can't control it. So, which means that you must be an attitude. You know, we read the parable of the 10 virgins. And we've rapturized it, but we have failed in the lesson. The lesson was that Jesus said he did not know the time of their visitation. the time of it. It's not the visitation, though, the time. Some guys can know about the move of God, the power of God, but if you miss the time, you've missed it. You know, Jesus came to his disciples and said, pray that you don't enter temptation. Watch and pray. You don't enter temptation. He said, yes, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. He said, watch and pray. Watch. Watch means what? Glory. Hallelujah. So he said, so he came to them and said, can't you pray for 1 hour? Lord, I know we can pray. You know, God has our audience all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm the righteous of God, Christ Jesus. Every time I talk to the Father, I will always be the Father. Be talking like you just drank something. He came the second time. In church. There was somebody like that he was snoring in a prayer meeting. I thought it was a burden. So we moved close to him and we saw that the water of life was coming out from his mouth. Bro! What's going on here? The brother is in the seventh heaven. He came the third time. And he said, yes, Lord. Peter now said, James, choke up. He said, don't pray. Don't pray any longer. That time has passed. There's something about the right time. So if we set a time for a service, be there on time. Don't say, well, I won't come for this one, I'll come for that one. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. And God sees your heart. I remember I went for a camp meeting in 1995. And I wasn't able to make the first day. Not out of my doing. I was stopped from making the first day. Stopped. Okay. So I was really unhappy. The second day I found my way on my way. You know? Thinking that I started the meeting the day before, I was really praying. Trusting God that this is a meeting that I'll be blessed. Trusting God. So they'll make the first session. I was going from Ikorodu to Badagry. I left home about 4:30 for an 8 o'clock service. I started going because there was no traffic as it were today. So I got there, they told me, no. The service started, no. It started in the evening. It started in the evening. Because I remember that I walked 7 hours. I walked for 7 hours to get to the meeting. So by the time I got to the service, I was the first person. I mean, the man of God came on the stage, and I was the first person he spoke to. He had not ministered until that point. What if I didn't come? Or what if I decided to go straight to the hostel for before I came for the service? I don't know how to first drop my bag. I know how to drop my bag when I'm done. So I took my bag there, and that was it. There's something about being there at the right time. You know, in Acts 1, when they were going to choose those who would be the eyewitnesses of Jesus, they said they would choose among all these men who was with us all the time, went in and out from the baptism that John preached all the time. Someone say all the time. That's why in a church that is serious, before they choose you in leadership, they must look at your attendance. Have you always been around? A fellow that always gives excuses. Some people, that is like the grace upon their lives. Excuses. It's like a grace. Excuses. There was all like that. When I check all the text messages that was sent to me from the person, sorry. If I just type sorry, it will just bring the person's sorry. And it, sorry, sir, I will be late. Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. If there's somebody that I've given the nickname, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. And it's an attitude. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that it violates tarrying in the things of the Spirit. Punctuality is godly. How many of you like God to be late? You don't. So why do you want to be late? Be there. Be there. Honor Christian meetings. See that thing about, I will get the teaching online. I've seen people tell me this, that when they come, every time they came around, for example, for our meetings, maybe camp meeting, World Changers Conference, say there's a huge difference between what we watch, what we listen to and being there physically present. And that's just the truth. So, it's all about you being there at the right time. That brother I just walked away. 2002, I think. That was 2001, sorry. 2001. He just walked away. And I know God showed me that vision so that I will know what happens when people miss those kind of things. And also for myself. Just walked away. Imagine having to go from Lagos to Ibadan to attend school of ministry there in Luyole. And I'll go. I went every Tuesday for a whole year. Every Tuesday for a whole year. And then one of the services, just one of the services, I never believed I would teach. I used to feel I was a preacher. That all I was going to do in my life was just jumping on chairs. That was what I was doing. With quoting of scriptures. So when I see people teach scriptures and explain scriptures, I say, that guy is, you know me, I'm just to shout it. You know? So I went for the service. Of course, I was faithful to go every Tuesday. Faithful. I didn't miss one. One. When the service started, it was the anointing. Then the anointing ministry gives how to take mantles. And then, what's the third one? I didn't miss it. But those are the three I remember well. I didn't miss one. That's 26 years ago. I didn't miss it. I was always there. And I was involved in ministry, preaching elsewhere, teaching elsewhere. But that was it. And then one of the services, I was wearing a silk shirt. Silk shirt that had, you know, horses drawn on it. Then a black pair of trousers. And my traditional slippers. This is called a yose yose. And I was in the service. So when the preacher was preaching, I said, well, if you are called to teach the gospel, if you believe God has called you as a teacher, come, I'll pray for you. God has asked me to lay hands on you. I didn't even go. Because I've never seen it in a vision before. It has never been prophesied over me. And so I was right there, sitting in the auditorium. And the preacher stopped. He said, you. And he put, just me, myself alone. He said, you, wearing black. I said, come. I was the only one he laid hands on. He said, from today. Now, my point is, what if I didn't go? I would never have known what happened. Or what would have happened. So there's an attitude of tarrying. Some of us, we've had blessed meetings. We remember them. But why do you not have the same attitude now? God hasn't changed. And he expects of you in 2020 what he expected of you in 2007. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I learned to tarry. I have a good attitude. I have a good attitude. Some guys, you know, some guys have pride over nothing. You know, over nothing. Some girls, they say, with what I know. Over nothing. Just arrogant. Remember one day, we were coming back from, I can't remember the country, maybe Zambia. Myself and my boss then. My boss then used to be, he's one of the children of one of Nigeria's first prime minister. So he came, So by the time we were coming into the country, of course, we got to the airport, and then the queue just went, you know, funny. Somebody just decided not to stay on the queue. He said, no. I put and said, oh boy, stay on the queue now. He said, I cannot stay on any queue here. He said, if you know what my father has done in this country, I can't stay on any queue. You know, Nigerians are tough like that. So my boss was telling him, pleading with the guy, calm down now. Calm down now. He said, no! Don't tell me that! He just asked him, he said, who is your father? You know, nobody knew who he was. Because he's quite a very unassuming person. He said, who is your father? That was the question that sealed the whole thing. He said, my own father. I'm sure you have his face in your pockets here. I mean, his father's name is all over Nigeria. So when you say, they just faced that guy and pounced on him. So people are just proud of another. So they didn't know how old I am. How old are you? If all you have in life is your age, you know, that can't be why you want us to listen to you. No. I believe respect for elders, I do, but that can't be the card you have. No. In fact, you should be humble enough for us to now know your age and say, that man is humble. Do you know who I am? Yahweh. Do you understand? Say, I have good attitudes. I'm simple and innocent enough to learn and to receive of the things of God. So as we, our attitude to meetings should be such that the way I was when I first spoke with tongues, when I first prophesied, of course I'm better in insight now, but that attitude should never change. When hands were laid on you, or when you laid hands, or when you heard a sound, or you sang in the spirit, say, I have a good attitude. Say, I have a good attitude. I'm teachable. I'm teachable. Glory to God. Glory to God. I went for a meeting recently. So I was running to the service. So the guy said, why are you running? I said, because I want to take the front seat. He was looking at me. I said, there's something about front seat. And true, that was a healing service. All I wanted to do in the front seat was to watch. I didn't want to watch on the screen. I wanted to watch around and watch. And watch. In fact, me and Brother Tok still talked about it a few weeks ago. I saw something. Because that's the attitude. I've never been used to sitting at the back. Sorry. I can mention the churches I've attended in my life. The only time I think, I can't remember that day well. But I'm always in front. In front. I went for one meeting like that. And they said, they wanted to have a meeting with the pastors and deacons. That we should move back. I moved back enough to be hearing what they were saying. When they were through, I took my position again in Christ Jesus. Amen. There's just something along that area that always helps. Having the right attitude. Now, if me can be saying front seat. Me, front seat. I've been in the ministry at least a few days more than some of you here. And I can't say front seat. Some people will get to the church. The usher will say, sit down there. They say, why? I sat down somewhere and the usher said, sorry, this place is reserved. I just got up. There's no... get up! Assuming you sat somewhere, maybe on the island, you went to somewhere, and then one military man said, get up. Would you say, well, I said, Oga, I didn't know. Oga, you know, Oga, thank you. Thank God for what you are doing for our country, Oga. You are just rude. So have a good attitude to the things of God. Hallelujah. You know, we don't joke around the things of the Spirit. We're not light. We're not loose. So we will bring comedians to come and joke around casting out of demons. No, that is senseless. That's casting out of demons is a holy vocation. It's a holy vocation. Prophesying is a holy vocation. Hallelujah. Say, I hold sacred things sacred. Amen. So I tarry on meetings. I tarry around. You know, on Wednesday I said that don't only look forward to a camp meeting. Look forward to your Wednesday service, to your Tuesday services, to your prayer meetings. God's Spirit hovers and moves across those meetings. Not just the camp meeting. Thank God for the camp meeting and the big effects and the bigger ones he does. Thank God for the glorious times we're going to have April 9th to 13th. But you know, thank God for every Tuesday service. Thank God for the fellowship meetings. Oh, glory to God for the Monday prayer groups. Thank God for the Saturday evening prayer groups. The move of God is there. The Spirit of God is there. He's sharing men's hearts there. Hallelujah. Thank God for the workers' meetings. Thank God for departmental meetings. You know, we gather by the Holy Ghost. And we gather in the Holy Ghost. And we are blessed by the Holy Ghost. So don't pick and choose. See everything as the move of God. 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 Hallelujah. The move of God. If you know how God wants to how eager he wants to express himself, there is no meeting we can have the move of God. Numbers 11. Moses gathered the 70 elders in a place. That shows you a pattern. In a place. I've taught you before. When God does things in the earth, you will have a place, a time, a people, and the spirit. A place. There will be a place. Look at all God has done in history. There will be a place. People speak about the great things done by the apostle Ayobabalala. There's a place that they talk about. There's a place. The Azusa Street, remember, there's a place. When you talk about the things done through Brother Hagin, there is a place. There is a place. There will be a place to it. There will be a people prepared. There will be the spirit. And very critically, there will be the time. That is critical and vital for us to understand it. To understand it. I'm grateful that in those earlier days, when all my colleagues and friends would, you know, people that were my classmates would maybe busy themselves about other things. They would give every excuse. Some of them were into partying, you know, Christians. Some of them were just went to church alone. Some of us went the extras. I remember a friend said this. He said, if you're going to be extraordinary, you have to do the extras. You can't stay ordinary. He said, your labor has to be extra. Your commitment has to be extra. I took it upon myself. God spoke to me in 1994 at number 6, Ibiyemi Crescent, off of Solo Way. He said to me, it was a Friday. He said, don't look at people's results. Look at their labors. That is what you ought to emulate. From that time, I said to myself, if I see men God has used pray, I'll pray. And I've not seen anyone God has used that don't pray. In fact, they pray the extra. If I see them give themselves to sacrifice and giving, I'm going to do the same thing. So there's something about being at the right time. At the right time. Jesus came in the fullness of time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. In the fullness of time. Hebrews 5:12. The time you ought to be teachers. It's not about 4 o'clock time or 6 o'clock time. It's this is now the time. This has to happen now. This has to happen now. May I remind you, 2015, God spoke to us about seasons of planting. And we're in those seasons. Things happening through and by us were not in any big surprise or shock. I remember Brother Kola reminded me of a meeting we had 2006, a prayer meeting I led. Then, on a Sunday morning, he said, Pastor, you said this that in 10 years from now, so and so will happen. And it was just 10 years that it happened. It just reminded me. There are times to things. There are times. Some people were asking me that, at the beginning of the year, some things we thought, it was as though we saw things that were going to happen. Well, we're people of the Holy Ghost, we ought to see. Praise God. So there's such a thing about the timing. Late last year, we had a prophecy and a vision. Strengthen the local churches. Strengthen the local churches. And we're following that. God, what are you saying now? And I say this to all of us, whether you are, if you are pastoring, or you just have a disciple. There's something about waiting on the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, what? How do I handle this brother now? You must be a person of the Holy Ghost. Be a person, how do I handle this matter now? Oftentimes when pastors ask me for counsel. So one person told me, he said, I know exactly what you are going to say eventually. I said, what is it? After saying what you are going to say, you are going to ask me to pray. He said, so I asked myself, why didn't I pray before I asked you? Well, pray before you ask me, pray after you have asked me. You are going to pray and wait on God. Our pastors are here. I tell them, what I will do here may not be what you will do in where you are pastoring. I tell them, wait on God, pray. What is he telling you about where you are? I'm as limited as a man. But you have the Holy Ghost. 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 You have the, of course, they are wise enough not to go and do stupid things. I said the Holy Ghost told them to be jumping on trees. But they'll say it. And will flow with the Holy Ghost together. So there's such a thing about you, you know, I'll talk about this next week. You being ever thirsty and hungry. Ever thirsty and hungry. Every time this is my personal life now. Every time I discover that maybe I'm dropping the ball somehow, I just take a fast. Because in my earlier days, we use fasting to hit it high. So I just, you know, just go back. There's no, just say small. Just start. It just creates that thirst again. It brings back that tenderness you had. I've gone 180 before. I've gone 90 before. Please don't do it though. Cut it into bits and pieces. That was then. I've gone, it was a doctor that looked into my eyes and said to me, if you continue like this, I even told myself I was going to do one whole year. You know, it didn't make sense. So people asked me, oh, why? That's why I take a lot of Coke. I didn't used to eat anything. By 6, 7, I just take Coke. No food. Maybe another 2 days, then take Coke. But the truth is, just, there are certain things you will do that will bring that thirst. That will bring that thirst. Maybe a teaching you just listen to again. But I just will fast. And fast. And get on the edge again. Of course, when you are fasting, you are not just looking at your wristwatch. 3:45, 3:46, 4:00, 4:00. You remember the activities you will get into. Some good times of praying. Some good times of meditation. Of course, you cut down on some natural things naturally. Just by that dimension. What are you doing? You are tarrying. You are tarrying. You cannot outlive a good attitude. Do you get it? You can't outgrow it. Sorry. You can't outgrow it. You can't say, hey, that was then. No! It's needed now. Say, have a good attitude towards the things of God. I know to wait on the things of the Spirit of God. I honor meetings and I receive from them. Every meeting for me is an encounter in the Spirit of God. Glory to God. I said this in the first service. A couple of weeks back, preparing for these meetings and then the camp meeting after, I shared with the pastors that we're going to stir up moves of God in the meetings from now henceforth. And the moves of God we're referring to is not what will happen in the meetings. No. It's what will happen afterwards. And people that were unexpected will do the unexpected. In unexpected places. In unexpected places. Hallelujah. 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 So we learn to tarry. In the prayer meetings, we learn to tarry. In the teaching meetings, we learn to tarry. In the church services, we learn to tarry. In the Holy Ghost meetings, much more, we learn to tarry. Hallelujah. And wait on. Have the attitude of a taker, a receiver in the things of God. Let me mention this. As we close, I've said this before, but many didn't obey it. Lay hands on people more. Lay hands on people more. Lay hands on people more. There are some depths of the things of the Spirit of God you are going to find out you had when you lay hands. Lay hands more. Laying on of hands doesn't mean to put hands on your people's heads. Sometimes it just means to touch people. Of course, in the right places. It means to touch people. It can just mean to hold someone's hands. You know, we are power transmitters. We are grace transmitters. We are life transmitters. We are glory transmitters. We are healing transmitters. Hallelujah. That's what we are. And therefore, we learn. We learn. We learn to wait on the things of the Spirit of God. The coming days are brighter. They're better. And they're stronger. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. We tarry. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues.